Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Michael, who is the co-founder of Wanderland Agency, a Toronto-based creative marketing agency driven to empower brands through digital innovation. Today, we're going to be discussing Michael's journey of entrepreneurship and how he's grown Wanderland Agency. So thank you so much for joining us today, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what really, you know, gets you out of bed in the morning and motivates and inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I think there's a few fundamentals, and without, you know, getting too philosophical, I think it's the idea of giving yourself the opportunity to create more time in your day. I think that's one of the driving elements to, you know, choosing entrepreneurship. Specifically with business, we love creating new things. It's the reason why we got into the creative marketing agency, in the first place. So just being able to, you know, wake up, get into projects that are fully creative driven, really kind of pushes us and pushes me specifically to just want to work, and more so passionately than I have to work. So that's one of the big things.
That's awesome. And then, so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
I'll kind of give you a long story. When I went to university, I studied business. I specialized in communications. Straight out of university, I did the thing that everyone does is get a secure job, because that's what we're told to do. I didn't really get the opportunity to do much marketing. I, for some reason, always found my way. So I did about three jobs before I started the agency. Mm-hmm. And all those three jobs, I was indirectly doing marketing. It wasn't my position, but I found my way into some way of creating or being creative within marketing sphere, whether it's internal or external creation. And I just realized I got to stop trying to create my way into marketing and just do it instead. Yeah. So I had the option of, whether going into more of a junior position at a larger corporation or agency and just trying to build my way up, or just try to learn as fast as possible a lot of the things that I didn't have necessarily from experience, and just launch an agency. And that's really the reason why, you know, my co-founder and I just kind of left our job and decided to do all of this right before COVID.
Okay, so you guys launched right before COVID. What was that experience like when you guys finally decided to, you know, open the doors to your agency?
It's kind of catch-22. We were excited to do what we were doing more than anything. And funny enough, when we actually started discussing the agency, COVID wasn't really a topic of conversation in the news. So it was, you know, late 2019. And then when we kind of started going into it and COVID hit and all the businesses started going online and moving to more digital solutions, we were like, hold up a second. We got into the industry at the perfect time without really knowing it. So
yeah,
it was a bit of a freaky situation where you get a bit nervous, but at the same time, it just ended up working out.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So, you know, what were some of those challenges in the early days when you were first starting out with the agency?
Waking up in the morning and having no idea what to work on first, right? I think that's the big challenge is, you know, you could tell yourself, I know what I want to do, I know what I'm going to work on. But at the end of the day, you sit down at your computer and there's all these million different things that you make up in your mind and you write down your task list. And then you just end up getting confused. So the biggest challenge was just organizing myself, mm-hmm. Trying to build out what are the main tasks and priorities that need to be get done on today, this week, and, you know, within the month, just trying to simplify it and keep it short term. Mm-hmm. So it was really about organizing and prioritizing tasks. That was the biggest challenges.
Okay. So is there any, you know, software that you use for, you know, kind of like your time management and organization tasks that has been helpful at all?
Absolutely. So we ended up adopting Asana into our you know, processes and procedures. This is both internal and also working with clients too. It's a good project management tool. We found that it was also a good, you know, personal task management tool as well. And in addition to that, it allowed us to integrate with, you know, even time tracking, which, you know, for a lot of agencies, that's just the reality of things, to understand how, you know, your business is profitable or not, or resource allocation. You got to, you know, track time. So we use Toggle and Asana together, which works well.
Okay. Interesting. So, you know, digital marketing, you know, it's become a very saturated market. So, you know, there's so many digital marketers out nowadays. And how do you guys really work to kind of stand apart and set yourselves apart from other agencies out there?
You know, I think the tricky parts of the question is, you're right. I think there's a lot of agencies that do, you know, what we do, and then vice versa, right? So the one biggest thing for us from the very beginning was trying to create value proposition. And really where that value proposition came from was in the fact that all of our solutions are custom built and catered to our clients. Every agency we believe should operate that way, but you know, it really depends on what kind of work you're offering and services you're offering.
Yeah.
So I think the competitive nature for us, and again, it depends in which agency format you're in. We're more boutique, we're small. We don't want to grow into this massive, you know, agency, you know, style. So for us, it's like, okay, for us to build more of a reputable brand, we felt that it was really important to build more channel partnerships rather than try to, you know, go online and advertise as much as possible or create an inbound marketing funnel, right? So that's where we found the majority of success was building the right type of channel partnerships that required our specialty and what we do. And that's kind of been, you know, it's been a beast that's been feeding itself. So we've been lucky just being able to do that.
Interesting. So I know in the early days you had mentioned, you know, that finding that time management, getting organized was a challenge, and then you guys implemented Asana. So, you know, now what are some challenges you encounter on just a day-to-day basis?
You know, I think because we're so small, it's still to a certain degree prioritization of tasks. You know, we're still a very young company at the end of the day. So one of the things that we're trying to figure out is resource allocation, is how can we grow with the resources we have without really spreading ourselves too thin? And part of that is really the prioritization of work and tasks and identifying how many resources is really required to whether develop a project or complete a project, or if it's ongoing work, how much per month can you really put in without, you know, again, you're forcing yourself to work on weekends or hiring a new body. So yeah, it's really funny because a lot of people talk about, you know, revenue generation as a challenge. A lot of people talk about just marketing yourself or creating a value proposition. I think oftentimes, you know, what's missing for us at least, it's organization and prioritization, right? It's like, how am I going to tackle my day in and day out? So it's still, I think, continuing to be a challenge as we scale and grow and add new clients to our portfolio.
How do you balance, you know, finding that time to be working on the business and working in the business at the same time?
Interesting question. I ask myself that every single day. you know, it comes back to that organization and priorities. You know, one of the things that, you know, and I have a mentor and I recommend everyone should have a mentor, especially early stage, you know, when you're trying to develop something. And my mentor tells me this, he's like, hey, you know, don't complicate your life, but do something very simple. When you take a break, whether it's a 50-minute break, 10-minute break, whatever it is, dedicate 5 minutes to just write down throughout your day, you know, what is it that I did the last 3 hours or 4 hours? Write it down, put the amount of time that you've spent on it. And then, okay, at the end of the day, do the same thing. Write down what you worked on, put time spent on it. Then revise that at the end of the week. How much time was actually spent doing work versus working on your business? And then what that allows you to do, it's kind of rejig a little bit specific time frames within your day or your week where you can allocate time to work on the business. So I ended up doing that for about 3 months, and it actually gave me the opportunity. And now what's changed is Mondays and Fridays, no meetings are booked. It's purely built out to, you know, complete some work that's client-based, and then a few other hours, it's just work on the business. Find ways of really identifying how to be more efficient and create processes or remove processes that are slowing things down.
That's awesome. I love that. I think that's a really great strategy.
Thanks.
Yeah. So I'd love to talk a little bit about sales now. So what are your tips for, you know, bringing in more leads into your agency and then closing those prospects?
I think it goes back to what I was saying about the type of, you know, agency that you operate. And what we try to do is we've tried multiple things, right? We tried creating, for example, like a pre-packaged solution that we could just create an inbound marketing channel for, where, you know, it's a lot less touch point. It's more automated. The process is more automated from, you know, lead capture all the way to closing out the lead and to us coming in and actually doing the work. And even execution was more automated too. You know, we found that wasn't the area that we wanted to focus on, and there wasn't much success. So that was an early on failure that we kind of, you know, swept away. We said, okay, no worries. We'll try again, something else. But in terms of lead generation, what we found works really well. And what I do is, you know, LinkedIn, I think, is a great source for B2B. You know, it really depends on what kind of, you know, outreach you're trying to do, whether you're trying to create thought leadership through your own personal channel or you're actually doing outreach. It's been pretty successful. And for me, you know, one of the biggest opinions or arguments or critiques I have about LinkedIn, just being an owner and entrepreneur, and I'm sure it's the same thing with you, you get hammered with a lot of in-mail with the exact same text saying, hey, you were in my recommended, you know, section. I've been thinking about connecting with you for a long time. And,
yeah,
you know, but it's the same thing. You get 10 of those a week or 10 of those a day.
Yeah.
So I told myself, you know, if we're going to do this, we have to be different. So I'm just going to show personality. So that ended up being a pretty good engine for us to creating more bookings in our calendar for, you know, even if it's a discovery call or just identifying what's the opportunity to, you know, for working or collaborating together. That's been a pretty good process. Usually that takes, I would say, the sales cycle for that is about 2 to 3 months, which is quite long. But again, because we're so small and boutique, we can afford that to be able to kind of walk a potential prospect through that process. And then about the 2-month, 3-month mark is when we usually tend to close the project out. And, you know, to go a bit more into detail, our close rate, I would say, is about like 80 to 90%, which is very high. And the only reason why is because it's so direct, right? Like, we're not trying to cast this massive net into the sea and catch all the fish and then see which ones are good or not. It's more so we're going to pinpoint exactly who we're looking for, try to cater to them as much as possible, and close out. And like I said, sometimes it's 2 to 3 months. That's our average cycle, but it could be much longer than that. Then, you know, in parallel to that, I think what works the best is just channel partnerships. If you're able to build out a network of people that you know that works within your domain, but doesn't offer necessarily your service, but has clients who need it, I think that's a direct way of actually getting business. Referrals is the best because it's almost like social proofing online. These people are vouching for you, saying, I have a guy for that, or I have a team for that. And it's no longer a question of, okay, well, they need to prove to me that they can do it. It's coming from someone that I trust, that I know, right? And channel partnerships allow you to do that. And what tends to happen within that specific channel is you end up getting far more quality clients, right? Not just leads, but clients themselves. Mm-hmm. And expectations are set from the very beginning. Trust and respect, I think, is set from the very beginning. Which makes it for creating a great working, you know, and collaborative atmosphere, and, you know, always ends up being a successful project at the end.
Awesome. Yeah. So do you have any tips for, you know, developing those partnerships that have worked well for you?
Yeah, I think going back to LinkedIn, it's twofold. I think going back to LinkedIn, it really helps with connecting individuals. And, you know, oftentimes people try to sell rather than have conversations and get to know somebody, right? I think that's the typical kind of psychology of selling. At the end of the day, when you first jump in, it's like, oh, I just need to sell, make money.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think, you know, what a lot of people don't think about is you amongst thousands of other people have that mindset and are doing that. So your target audience are used to that, which means that they're going to see through the BS of it all. And they're probably not going to want to, you know, whether connect with you or answer your requests, or if they do, it's going to be no. So, you know, I think the trick behind that specifically is try to connect with people to get to know them first. Find a way to be creative in your messaging, right? I think that's one of the biggest opportunities. Mm-hmm. And once you have that conversation with them, it's really interesting what ends up happening. you end up creating not only a connection, but you're actually creating some form of acquaintance or friendship. It's like going to a networking event, you know, with a drink in your hand and talking to a bunch of people. And then you walk out with 10 business cards. It's like, oh, well, that's not what I wanted to do, but I ended up doing that.
Yeah.
And then progressively through those conversations, it's like, well, you know, I do this. We're kind of in the same industry. I actually have a client that needs, you know, a website, for example, web design development. You know, would you be interested in collaborating on that? Yeah, sure. And then 2 months later, they come back. I actually have another client. So there you go. That's one channel partner that you have that will feed you, you know, referrals, and you end up being just that guy or that team or that, you know, that squad that's able to kind of jump in and help out. So there are other ways, I'm sure, Julia, to build channel partnerships, but from a smaller mindset, I think that's a really good approach. It's just really networking, getting to know people in your industry and seeing if there's a way to collaborate with them.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. It's all about the relationship building. And so, you know, once you've reached out, you've established a connection with someone on LinkedIn, or, you know, maybe you've got their email, but they are, you know, someone in your, that you are, you know, wanting to be following up with and maintaining and building that relationship. How do you nurture that relationship so that you don't, so that you can just be building that?
You know, I think initial request is just trying to connect with them, right? You know, trying to be as transparent as possible as to why the connection request was sent. I think that's one of the biggest things. I think transparency and you know, honesty helps out really in the long run. But trying to nurture them really ends up being, okay, well, we've connected, we've established a relationship, we're talking a little bit. I'm going to try and get a discovery call as soon as possible, right? It might not necessarily be for project work, but again, it's just to get to know the person. But the part of getting to know the person is also getting to know the business. And one of the most important parts of nurturing the relationship is just trying to identify what are their immediate challenges. Sometimes the challenges you cannot help with, you just can't. But being someone who networks so much, I have different avenues and resources that I could be like, oh, well, actually, I have someone who can help you with that, right? And what ends up happening is, again, you build more of a friendship, right, than a professional friendship, at least, than just someone that you've connected with. So the nurturing process starts there after the discovery call. Once you identify the challenges, you see if there's an opportunity for you to help. If there is, it's really trying to get them to, you know, understand your full scope of services and what you're able to provide and, you know, what the results tend to be based on other projects you've worked on, and just help them understand, you know, the value of what it is that you could potentially offer through collaboration. Sometimes they're not ready, right? And, you know, for example, our vertical is startup tech. Sometimes we find tech, you know, companies just too early on, right? They just don't have the funding. They don't have the budget. What I do, which is, I don't know if it's something that every agency owner can do, I recommend it, is I actually offer pro bono consultations. And there's two reasons for it. It's 1 hour per month. I do it, you know, purely for me to kind of grow a little bit more and understand a little bit more how, you know, the startup tech industry works. So just offering 1 hour per month gives me insight into that. But additionally, it gives them insight as to what to do with marketing, right? Even just 1 hour of conversation. It's like, here's what we did the last 3-4 weeks since we last spoke. You know, do you have any direction to give us? It's like, actually, yeah, I do have something. Or no, actually, keep going. I think that's the right path. I think you're doing well. Just make sure to track success metrics, right? And then leave the conversation there. So through offering pro bono consultation actually gives me the flexibility and gives them the flexibility to work with us, but not, you know, have to necessarily throw out cash right away. And to be honest with you, that's actually been a really good way of converting potential prospects into clients. Much longer sales cycle. But once you do a lot of them and you fill your funnel with a lot of them, they start converting over time and they become clients, and they become clients that stay for a very long time too.
Yeah, because you've done a really good job of really nurturing and establishing that relationship.
You got it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I love also what you say, you know, if sometimes you can't help them, but you know someone who can, just making that introduction. I think that's a really powerful way to help people out. And when you get known as someone who is a connector and introduces people, what I found is it's just a cycle. Usually people like that know other people who connect you to other, and it can be like, it can just be this long chain. I recently had actually a guest on the podcast, and she connected me with someone, and it was like a chain of like 5 people. Every person that I got connected to recommended me to someone else, And yeah, it was really interesting. So yeah, that's definitely something that I love to do as well.
Yeah. And to add to that, it's I love that that's kind of what the podcast is now turning into. It's like a connection of, and you're going to end up probably, or you already have, with this massive network of founders, entrepreneurs, people that you know you can connect at some point. And even it could be a guest today and a guest a month from now. It's like, oh, wait a second. I spoke to someone a month ago that could actually help you with this, right? You know, I think that's the really cool part. And one of my channel partners, you know, just to kind of give you a bit of a story here, I had a videographer. We have a videographer that we use for a lot of our content creation. And we needed work to get done. He wasn't available. He was out, I think, in the Antarctic filming something for CBC. I have no idea, but he was gone. And he was like, you should talk to this person. I spoke to that person. She's like, yeah, unfortunately, we're too expensive, out of budget. But wait a second, you guys do web design and development? We're like, yeah. It's like, hmm. And a month later, you know, within 4 weeks, she's given us 3 referrals, quality referrals, really good ones that are going to close, right? And it's like, you know what I mean? It's interesting how connections happen to, or just happen in general, but I think it's keeping an open mind and just being, you know, cognizant of, yeah, you know, I need to have maybe a 30-minute conversation with this person, although maybe today I don't feel like it, but just do it. You never know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And people who are like that, who are kind of like super connectors, I think you really got to take care of them as well. You know, like I always introduce people like that to like as many people as possible who I think would be beneficial to their network. And yeah, they're the ones I'll send like Christmas gifts to. And like, I just take like really good care of them. Cause they're so beneficial to have around. Cause
I agree.
Yeah. Awesome. So what do you do, you know, when times get hard as an entrepreneur? Because, you know, sometimes it can be that, you know, that roller coaster. There's, you know, when it rains, it pours. And then other times it's just you go through those hardships. How do you kind of find that balance as an entrepreneur?
I go into the basement and take shelter and hide for a few days. And then I just resurface when it all passes. No, I think one of the most important things is, I mean, it's kind of cliche and cheesy, but it's getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, I think the things that come in with challenges is the anxiety and stress, right? That's more biological. It's a little bit difficult to necessarily just tell your brain turn off and then it's gone. You know, so I would say that's probably the biggest challenges when it gets difficult is the mental aspect of it, of really trying to quiet down the anxiety, which is impacting the stress. And really trying to kind of reconfigure your brain to think more logically as to, okay, here's the problem. How am I going to solve it? Right. The honest truth is a year ago, I probably went through, you know, my co-founder and I, we went through a period of time that was like unbelievably stressful where, you know, a mixture of anxiety, depression, all these things caved in because of some projects, maybe not necessarily going the way we wanted to, or just maybe kind of, you know, allowing clients to step on us a little too much, which is okay. It happens, especially when you first start off, because you want to be, you know, that full service provider, or you want to be able to provide the best quality service. And sometimes it's saying yes all the time, right?
Yeah.
And that isn't the best, you know, result at the end of the day. So for me, I think it's going through those challenges, learning how to mentally kind of control your mind and really focus in on what is, you know, required to get through the problem. And then remembering that, because it's going to happen again. And it did, right? It happened, you know, a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago. And I was like, wait a second. I remember that feeling. I remember that challenge. And I remember that stress that came, you know, from this. And I didn't feel anxious. I didn't. Because for some reason, my brain had already programmed being comfortable with that uncomfortable situation. It was like, okay, you know, this happened and you know, you're going to find a solution. So let's not waste your time with, you know, the stress and the anxiety that you're going to get. Let's throw that to the side. And that's what my brain did. And it's like, let's go straight to the solution. So, you know, I think it's okay accepting the fact that you are going to continuously be uncomfortable, and just go through that process of identifying what works best for you, whether it's, you know, breathing exercises or anything along those lines, or doing an activity, right? And just try to recenter yourself.
Yeah, I think those are really wise words. It's true. And I think also just, you know, accepting that sometimes, you know, you don't have necessarily the control over the situation. You know, sometimes you just have no control and it is what it is. And just accepting that and going with the flow, and then, you know, these things always pass. So, it all comes down to mindset.
Yeah, and you know, the biggest thing too with that is exactly what you said about it will pass.
Yeah.
Like everything will pass. Like good moments will pass, bad moments will pass. It's just, you know, how or what do you do to kind of calibrate yourself in those moments to accept the reality of what's going on, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
And then be able to kind of foresee how you're going to tackle those moments or where you're going to end up after it's done, right? So yeah, I totally agree. I think it's just at the end of the day, just being cognizant of who you are and how you deal with situations.
Absolutely. So where do you see Wonderland Agency in 5 years' time?
Great question. You know, it's, I think for us, you know, it's funny because my co-founder and I, when we first started, I tried building out what was like our 5-year plan. So it was part of our business plan. I was like, hey, let's look at 5 years. Where do we actually want to be? Let's just be visionaries for a second, just innovative, whatever it is, create something that, you know, we can maybe achieve or maybe we can't. It doesn't matter. Let's put something. And we had a lot of trouble. And I think the reason why is because as creatives, all we really care about at the end of the day is working on projects that continue pushing, that continues to push the boundaries of what people normally see in their respective industries, mm-hmm. which is why we've remained agnostic, right? So our 5-year plan, if I were to give you an answer, is really trying to build out a continuous, you know, small boutique team, right? That stays and really specializes in what we do. And we just want to be known for, you know, that company or that agency that's the best at design and development in any industry that brings new ideas and innovative ideas, right? And it might not necessarily be technology. It might be just, you know, the way something looks on a website within, you know, the financial industry, right? It's like, rather than it being, you know, this blanket page like it is for every other competitor, it's like, well, we actually did it differently. And we'll explain to you why we did it differently. Which has been really our entire process from when we started till now. And every single client that we've worked with that understands that process has loved the output of what we end up doing because we're bringing ideas from everywhere. So 5 years from now, I think we just want to, you know, continue pushing the envelope and being known as those innovators within our respective specialization.
Awesome. I love that. So we are going to be wrapping up here shortly, but is there anything else that you'd like to add that you think would be beneficial to our listeners?
I think one thing I would say that, you know, it's just to marketers in general, right? I think oftentimes when we have conversations with our clients, you know, we try to just give them the secret sauce and just be like, hey, we'll give you results that you're looking for based on all of these services that we offer. And, you know, for us, what we realized is, you know, it's really important to understand the client, but also the client's industry on a fundamental basis, because that will always give you success. Genuinely, it's kind of like building a house without a blueprint. You could build a house without a blueprint. Will it stay up longer? I don't know. Do you know if the terrain's going to be able to support the house? I don't know. When you have a blueprint, you have the research and analysis of everything that's going around and where your house is going to go up, it's mm-hmm. going to probably be there for a much longer time. So that's one thing that we've actually injected into our process with every single one of our clients. It's more research and analysis, and we've actually built an agency partnership. And that's the other thing I want to mention. If you have the opportunity of building agency partnerships to fill in gaps and holes to make your services even more, you know, I would say like palatable or more sellable, because you're like, hey, this is our differentiating, you know, proposition compared to everyone else. Do it. There's no pain or no hurt in trying to build those partnerships or collaborations and just specializing in what you do, but having them, you know, help you kind of provide that value prop to your clients. And then the last thing I want to add, and this is kind of going a bit more of a tangent, is, you know, oftentimes when people talk about digital marketing, they get a little bit confused. And I'm talking about clients, right? So people who are shopping around for this stuff. Uh-huh. You know, one of the easiest ways I've tried to explain to people is the fundamentals of marketing haven't changed, right? When you're looking at marketing as a whole, ideally what you're trying to do is figure out who your target audience is and where they are. The execution part of it is what's changed, right? We went from traditional marketing, newspaper, radio, TV, and now we're in the digital marketing space. It's just a new channel of reaching your target audience in a different place, right?
Yeah.
So that's something I would definitely mention.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know what? We are getting ready to wrap up, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions.
Cool.
So What is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
The Art of Not Giving a, right?
Nice.
Yeah, so I think I told you the struggle of saying yes or no to the client. That book just kind of tells you it's 100% yes or 100% no, right? You got to make one of those decisions. So that book's helped me out with that specifically.
Perfect. And what does your morning routine look like?
Drink a lot of water, you know, as fast as possible and stretch. That's what my morning routine is pretty much every day.
Nice. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I don't really. You know, I think Elon Musk is the one person I like to listen to. To me, I like to be entertained by personalities, but also intelligence, right? And I think Elon Musk has a perfect mixture of all of that, although he's pretty controversial. But I would say he's the guy I pay attention to the most.
Okay, very good. And what is your favorite online tool?
I have to say right now, for people who are in the, you know, web design development space, there's a tool called Wapalyzer. Yeah, it's awesome. It allows you to analyze websites, tech stacks. So just, you know, if you want to take a peek at competitors and see what they're doing compared to you or compared to what your clients are offering, it just gives you kind of a snapshot of their entire tech stack, which, you know, gives you, you know, a pretty good edge of, you know, what it is you're going to build for your client in the future.
Yeah. Very cool. That's awesome. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
There's a few things. I think the best one might be the cost of inaction is sometimes greater of the cost of taking action is what I would say.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Michael. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast and I really enjoyed our conversation.
I did too. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.